Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
We are starting a brand new series today called Commonly Uncommon. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have to be commonly uncommon. The big idea is that as children of God, we are called to live a life that is very uncommon. We are not supposed to fit the mold of the world. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. He says, don't identify yourself with the world. Why? Because you may be in this world, but you are not of this world. You may be here right now walking through this planet, but you are not a citizen of this planet. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. So do not conform yourself to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's important to understand that there are two kingdoms with two patterns. There's not like multiple choices. There's not like multiple teams. There's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light. There is the kingdom of this world, and there is the kingdom of our God, and they are completely different. They go by a completely different set of rules, and we could spend a lot of time contrasting the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of God, but here's just some examples of the difference of the patterns. Because remember, the world has a pattern. Just like the kingdom of God has a pattern, the world has a pattern as well. When the world deals with love, they deal with what we would call conditional love, which means my love for you would be determined by how you treat me. If you'll treat me well, I will treat you well. If you will love me, I will love you. But as soon as you do me wrong, guess what? I have the right to do you wrong. I have the right to turn on you. I have the right to become your enemy. That's how the world operates. Conditional love. That's why we have such a difficult problem in marriage, because we don't really fully understand what love is. We think of marriage as a contract, and marriage is not contractual, it is covenantal, which means I don't love you based upon what you do for me. I'm not going to remain in this marriage based upon your behavior and how you act. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I know that's difficult for us to hear. But see, the kingdom of God deals with unconditional love. It doesn't matter how you treat me, I'm going to love you. It doesn't matter what you say about me, I'm going to love you. It doesn't matter if you vote completely different than me, I am going to love you. Yeah, that's a tough one though, right? Well, I love the Democrats because I'm a Democrat, and I love the Republicans because I'm a Republican, but I have the right to stand my ground and tell everybody else how wrong they are. See, there's patterns here. There's patterns. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's patterns. And the pattern of the world when it comes to forgiveness is optional. You know, if I feel like it, I'll forgive you. I determine the ground rules of forgiveness. I determine who, when, how I'll forgive. I'll determine what you've got to do in order for me to forgive you. It's optional, but not in the kingdom of God, not the pattern of God. Forgiveness is not optional. It is necessary. And it's not based upon what you do. You may never say sorry. You may never be like, Pastor, I'm so sorry for hurting you and doing it. You may never say that. You may not even feel sorry. But my responsibility, because of the pattern I am cut from, is to forgive you no matter what. Because how many of you know God forgave you even though you didn't deserve it? And the reason it is necessary is because it is actually impossible to receive forgiveness without releasing forgiveness. The pattern of this world would say, you know, you've got to save and hold on to things to get more. You've got to hoard things to have things. But the kingdom of God says the more you release, the more you receive. And when I talk about releasing, I'm not talking about spending. I'm not talking about shopping. I'm talking about investing into the kingdom of God. The more I sow into the kingdom, the more harvest I am preparing to come back into my life. It is just a principle of God's word. There is seed time and harvest. If you sow a seed, there will be a harvest. And you can work that to your benefit or to your hurt, because how many of you know everything is a seed? A smile is a seed. A look is a seed. A hello is a seed. A handshake is a seed. We could go on and on and on. Every seed you sow will determine a harvest you are going to receive. And so the more I begin to release the good things of God, the more the good things of God are going to be attracted back to my life. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Are you following what I'm saying? God is going to take care of me. The pattern of this world is all about conforming. They want to tell you how to think, how to believe, how to behave. Brittany, the world's pattern will tell us what is acceptable, what is no longer acceptable. Culture changes, and so we should change. You know, culture changes, so we need to allow the word of God to change to meet the needs of culture. It's conforming. It's changing. But the kingdom of God is not about conforming. It is about transforming. Are you following what I'm saying? It is completely different. And the contrast is so great that Jesus actually says you'll be able to identify my followers by how they live their life. Why? Because you are going to look completely different than the world. You will do business different. If you're following the pattern of the kingdom, you'll do business different. You'll do relationships different. You'll do church different. Every aspect of your life will be different. Jesus was so radical. You got to understand this. He was so radical because he was so different. He did not conform to the mold of society, of culture, or religion. He stuck out like a sore thumb. I mean, Jesus was drawn to people that society would reject. Think about that. Completely different. The world would say you need to stay away from that person, and Jesus was drawn to them. Why? Because he was not going to conform himself to the pattern of the world. He was cut from a different cloth. He was from the kingdom of God. He would serve not just his friends, but he would also serve his enemies. Think about this. That's why we call the kingdom of God the upside-down kingdom. Because it's almost completely opposite of everything that we have been trained for in our life. We say, hey, I'll serve somebody if I can get something out of them or if there's going to be something in it for me. Jesus says you don't serve just to see what's in it for you. You serve because that's who you are. It's a part of your nature. Jesus didn't participate in problems. He became a part of the solution. As a matter of fact, he was the solution. And I would submit to you that as children of God, we need to learn to not be a part of the problem, but we need to be a part of the solution. Jesus was commonly uncommon, and so should we. If you have your Bible, go to John, the 14th chapter, verse 12. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to me right now. Whoever, that's why I know he's talking to you, because he backs it up with this word, whoever. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I am going to do what Jesus does. I am called to do what Jesus does. Well, what did Jesus do? In simple form, Jesus revealed the Father and demonstrated the kingdom. So when he's telling us, if we have put our faith in him, we will do what he did, that means we are to reveal the Father. What's that? The nature of the Father, the essence of the Father, the image of the Father, and we are to demonstrate the kingdom. You will do what I do. What did he do? He revealed the Father and demonstrated the kingdom. So Jesus is telling us, if you are a follower of me, one thing that's going to be seen in your life is you will be revealing the Father. You will be revealing my nature, and you will be demonstrating the kingdom. Then he says, not only are you going to do that, but you'll do greater than I did. And that does not mean that we will have a greater impact than Jesus. Doesn't mean that we will top Jesus. Are you following me? Sometimes people misconstrue this. It's like, well, Jesus did this, I'm going to top it. You know, Jesus walked on the water, I'm going to run on the water, you know. That's not what Jesus is saying. He is saying, you're going to do the works that I do. And so it's going to be even greater because of the law of multiplication. See, as long as Jesus was on this earth, who he was confined to his earthly vessel. But as soon as he was broken, what was in him was released. And so now if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, the same spirit that empowered him, which was his spirit, is the spirit of the living God, is now inside of us, empowering us for our mission. The same way the spirit empowered Jesus, now the Holy Spirit empowers us. And 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, talking about Jesus, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. This is so important for us to grasp. As he is, so are we in this world, in this present age. It's not the sweet by and by. It's right here. It's right now. I am called to be a daily representation of Jesus to the world around me. And there's no like on and off switch. Sometimes we treat Christianity like a light switch, like we can come in the house and turn it on, then when we're ready to leave, we turn it off. We come to church, we turn it on, but as soon as I go to work, I'm gonna turn it off because people understand I gotta be different there. You know, I can't be that love and compassionate person there. I gotta be tough, I gotta be stern because no one's gonna follow me if I'm not tough, I'm not stern, if I'm not mean. If I don't use the same lingo as them, nobody's gonna understand me. You know what I'm saying? We make up all these things, but we are to be a daily representation of who Jesus is everywhere that we go. So as he loved, I will love. As he forgives, I also will forgive. As he worked, I will work. As he is, so will I be. Why? Because it is a part of my nature. Get this. When you come into Christ, you become a new what? Creation. Old things are passed away. That means you are a brand new creation. You receive a new nature. The problem that we have is many times we wrestle against the nature that God is trying to release into us because of our flesh, because of the pattern that we were raised in. We were all raised in the pattern of the world. That is what is natural to us. That's going to be our knee-jerk reaction, is always drop back into that. But God is saying, no, I've got something new for you. It is a new creation. It is a new nature, and you've got to learn how to walk in that. But it is a part of who you already are. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you receive that nature. I've got three brothers, and growing up, sometimes we would hear people say, oh, you're just trying to be like your dad. You know, if it was music, oh, you're trying to sing like your dad. You know, if it was playing an instrument, oh, you're trying to stand like your dad. You're trying to hold the guitar like your dad. If it's preaching, oh, you're trying to be like your dad. But the truth is, it's not something we were trying to do. I'm not trying to impersonate anyone. It's just a part of my nature. There are times I will stand a certain way or hold my hand a certain way that may look like him. It may look like someone else from my family line. Why? Because it's my nature. Alan is in me and I am in Alan. Are you getting this? Well, that's what Jesus is trying to push here. I am in you. You are in me. Who I am is who you are. My nature has become your nature. My spirit of life is now your spirit that fuels your life. It's important for us to get a hold of this, because if we will understand this, we will change whole cities. If we understand this, we will see reconciliation. We will see healing. We will see families come back together. when we understand that it is all about being a representation of who he is and living from this new nature, not according to our flesh, but according to his spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the what? Sons of God. So how do I know if I'm a son of God? If I am being led by the Spirit of God. How can I tell if my life has been transformed by the kingdom of God? Because I'm going to see fruit in my life. It's amazing to me how there are people who claim to be a Christian, but they will refuse to bear the fruit of Christianity. Because they'll say things like, well, that's just not who I am. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. No, 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 you're missing it. You may have used to have been that way. There may have been a time in your life where you were an angry person. You were a bitter person. But when you have come into Christ, you are no longer an angry person or a bitter person. You are a person of love and mercy. That does not mean that you do not always that you always get it right. Are you, you see what I'm saying, Rhonda? That doesn't mean you're perfect, because you're not. Jesus was the only person to carry this flesh with perfection. We still have flaws. My feelings still get hurt. But I do have a choice with, what am I going to do with this feeling? What am I going to do with this hurt? What am I going to do with this situation? Am I going to follow the pattern of the world? Am I going to be conformed to the world? Or am I going to bring it to God and say, God, I want to walk this out the way that you would walk it out? You know, there's a bracelet that we used to wear back in the 1900s. It was kind of silly. It had a WWJD on it. But that's a wonderful reminder to look down and say, okay, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus handle this moment? Because as he is, so am I right now. You have to get this. When Jesus ascended to the Father, his mission did not stop. It is continued through us. As his representatives, as his ambassadors, as his body, because that's who we are. We are not individuals floating through life. We are members one of another. We are the body of the living Christ. If the world is going to see Jesus, it's because they are going to see Jesus through you. If the world is going to hear the voice of Jesus, it is because they will hear the voice of Jesus through you. They will take notice how you serve differently than other people serve, how you give differently than how other people give. Why? Because you have a nature, and that nature becomes salt to the earth. What does salt do? It makes you thirsty. Did you think that the beer nuts at the bar were for you and your benefit? No. The bar is smart. They know the saltier the stuff they give you, the thirstier you're going to be. They don't want you to stop at one drink. They want you to continue. Salt makes you thirsty. Jesus says you are the salt of the earth. It is through you that people should desire Jesus. But if you are misrepresenting Jesus while calling yourself a Christian, you will not draw people to him. You will push people away from him. That's why it is so important that we walk in the new nature. So the majority of this series is going to be about some of the things that we should be displaying in our life. But before we get there, I want to start touching on some things like, how do we start pulling the uncommon into our life? How do we start pulling that new nature that God has already released to us into our life so that we can live uncommon, where it becomes commonplace for us to be uncommon? Our norm is very different than the world's norm. The first thing is this: what is developed in secret is what is displayed in public. What is developed in secret is what is displayed in public. You know, when you watch the worship team perform, you may turn your attention to Cameron, who plays guitar, and you may think, man, that's wonderful. I would love to do that. I would love to stand on the stage and be able to play guitar like he plays guitar. But that is not developed on the stage. That is developed in his time alone practicing. And if he would do more of it, he would get better. You know, back when I used to play, I would throw the bass guitar back behind my back and play. I would throw it behind my head and play. I could make it look like I was playing it with my teeth. I'd lay on the floor. I'd throw it up on my feet. I'd play. I was a maniac on the stage. But it's because I would spend hours in my room alone, not just sitting there practicing. I would practice. I would stand. I would practice. I would put it behind my head. I would practice. I was developing these things in the secret place, so that when the moment came that I stood on the stage, then it could be displayed to the public. You know, a lot of times we focus on the miracles of Jesus and we teach about the miracles of Jesus, but we don't pay a lot of attention to him withdrawing himself to the secret place. Because the things that were manifest through him were developed in that time where he's alone with the Father. He's connected to the Father. He's being intimate with the Father. That is where he is fueled. And then he would leave the mountaintop and come down and change the city. If you go all through Scripture, you can look at different biblical heroes. And all of these people had different, they had the same thing in common, like David and Daniel. They all knew God. They all spent time with their God. And that is what gave them the ability in public to take out the giant. That's what gave them the ability in public to stand in the midst of the lions and see their mouth shut, because they knew God. Are y'all following me this morning? Daniel says, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. There is a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. There are a lot of people that have attended church for years that know things about God, but they have not actually taken the time to know God. And knowing someone comes from intimacy. See, you could find your favorite celebrity, and you could Google them, and you could come up with all these facts and figures, where they're born, you could see their family tree, you could know, like, you know, what kind of car they like to drive. You could know all these things about them, but you do not know the heart of that person because you have not spent intimate time with them. So the only way to develop a knowing of God is to spend time with the Father. And the more intimate I am with him, the more the relationship develops. And I think that all of us could use more time with the Father. And I say that to myself as well. I was about to eat lunch the other day. I was talking to Randy, who's our worship pastor. And I said, at what point in time do we actually become the living sacrifices that God desires us to be? Where our life is holy and acceptable to God. A living sacrifice. That means daily my life is laid down at the feet of Jesus. And it's saying, not my will, but your will be done. I will invest my time in a way that you would have me invest my time. I will invest my resources the way you would have me to invest my resources. But our flesh fights against this, not understanding that the reward is great if we can ever surrender this beautiful olive-toned stuff to the Lord. Intimacy. The more I draw close to him, the more of him will be seen, and the less of me will be seen. And that is a daily routine. That is a daily discipline. That is daily getting beyond your feelings and saying, I'm going to do this no matter how I feel. Amen? So that's the first thing. You have to develop in secret before it is displayed in public. The second thing is you have to see yourself the way God sees you. That deals with identity. See, many times we see ourselves according to our past or current situation. But God does not see us according to our past or our situation. God sees us according to who he has called us to be, even if we're not living in the reality of it right now. If you go to the story of Gideon in Judges 6th chapter, you find Gideon hiding out in a wine press threshing wheat. And the reason he has found himself in this position is because he's scared that the enemy is going to come and take his stuff. And so he's hiding in fear. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "Mighty man of valor." That's what he calls Gideon. And Gideon is far from a mighty man. As a matter of fact, he responds to the angel of the Lord by saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." This is the RM Standard Version, by the way. "I don't know what you're talking about. My family is the weakest family in Manasseh." In other words, my family is the weakest family in town. "And out of this entire family of weaklings, I am the weakest. I am the sissiest of all the sissies." You must have meant to go to Russell's tent. He's down the road, Lord. He's a mighty man. Go see him. And God does not back off. No, you are the mighty man. As a matter of fact, the enemy you are hiding from is the very enemy I have created you to conquer. But see, when you don't understand who you have been called to be in Christ, you will hide in places you should not hide, and you will allow things to conquer you that God has designed you to stand on top of. Not because God has not given you the ability, but because you don't see yourself the way that God has seen you. You will allow sin that you should conquer to rule in your mortal body. You'll allow your past to determine your present and your future. If you don't understand who it is that God has called you to be, you will allow the world to push you into the winepress. You'll allow them to conform you to their way of doing things through fear and worry and anxiety. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, a sound mind. Peace belongs to you. Joy belongs to you. As he is, so am I in this world. Jesus was more than a conqueror, and I am more than a conqueror. I live from a position of victory because it's in my nature. I do not lose. I don't lose. Well, I saw that moment in your life. It looked like a failure. See, you can't judge a life by a moment. And sometimes we do that. We will judge an entire life based upon one moment, not realizing there is a future in front of them. And God can do in a moment. In a moment, he can turn every single thing around. And things that looked like a setback, actually, in hindsight, when you look back, oh, you'll see, oh, that was a setup. God allowed that place to dry up so that he could shift me and move me into the place that he wanted me to be. Because if it wouldn't have dried up, I would have gotten comfortable there and I would have missed out on his goodness. Are you seeing that? So don't judge your life based upon a moment. Don't judge your life based upon where you've been or what you've done. Judge your life according to who it is that God has said that you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are loved. You are called. You are chosen. We could go on and on and on and on and on about this. But these are the type of things that you are going to have to feed yourself with. See, it would be nice, you know, if I could live with every single one of you. It'd be nice if our worship pastor Randy could live in your house. Like maybe you had a closet for him and a closet for me. And so when you just felt like drained, you could go knock on Randy's closet and Randy would come out. "How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God." And then when you get ready to be inspired and you need to be encouraged, you need to hear what God has to say about your life, you can knock on my door and I'd come out and say, "Hey, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You know?" And you would be like, this is freaking amazing. You know, "I'm ready. Conquer life." You know, but it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way for me either. Like, as good as friends of Randy and I are, like, he's not singing to me. I've got to sing to myself, man. This week, man, I don't know what it is, but as a minister, I've learned that you have to be careful what you preach, because you'll have to walk through that at some point in time. And, you know, last week we talked about all this stuff, and then here I find myself like in the midst of this week, and I'm like wrestling with stuff in my mind, and, you know, and I had to get to the point to where I'm like, Sandra, I'm going to fight back. I'm not going to allow this to destroy me. And I would force myself to worship. I would force myself to get into the Word of God. I didn't want to. In my flesh, I didn't want to. I wanted to listen to, you know, Radiohead. I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. You know, I was like walking around the house. I was like, you know what? Like, I don't deserve my family. I looked at my dog. I was like, I don't even deserve your love. Is this too real for y'all? Y'all think, I'm going to find another church. Pastor's talking to doggies. I was home alone, guys, so that's all I had to talk to was the dog, and I'm processing all these feelings, and I thought, you know what? This is not helpful. I've got to turn this thing around, and I did. Through my worship, worship began to change my atmosphere, and when the presence of God floods my life, I begin to see with a new perspective. What I'm trying to say is I deal with stuff just like you deal with stuff, and I got to fight back just like you got to fight back. But you got to determine whether or not you're a fighter or you're a loser, whether you're a sitter or you're someone that's going to stand your ground and say, this moment's not going to define me. And this is a daily walk. It is not a one and done. The armor of God has to be installed daily. I can't just come to church once a week and think that's going to do it for me. And nowadays, a lot of people, they don't even come to church once a week. It's twice a month, three times a month, once a month. And we wonder why we're getting crushed. It's because we're not walking in the nature that God has given to us. The third thing is this: we have to have a connection to the Holy Spirit. He is the divine connection between earth and the things of heaven. He is the one that empowers you for your mission. That's why before Jesus started his ministry on earth, he's baptized, and the Spirit of God descends from heaven like a dove and rests on him. The Spirit of God was empowering him for the mission he had on this earth, because he chose to live as a man on earth and not as God on earth. He was fully God, he was fully man, but he did not choose to live from the position of God. He chose to live from the position of a son in right relationship with the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that he can give us a blueprint for how we can live. Are you seeing this? It's important. So we have to have connection with the Holy Spirit. He tells his disciples, before you go out and start the mission, receive the Spirit, because the Spirit will give you the power. It's like a lamp. It can look like a lamp. It can be a lamp. It can have a light bulb. But until that lamp is plugged into the wall, nothing's going to happen. So you can call yourself a Christian. You can look like a Christian, you can sing the songs, but until you've taken the time to receive the Spirit of God and make room for the Spirit of God to move in your life, you're not going to move in power. Listen to what I'm going to say, and then we'll close. Here's what you got to get. It is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. That's the mystery. That is the mystery of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He came as Christ with us, God with us, Emmanuel, God is with us. But he died so that he could become God in us. The hope of glory. The hope of the world. This is like really serious business. We are the hope of the world. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of changing cities. I want to be a part of seeing lives transformed. I want to be a part of seeing broken people put back together. I want to be a part of seeing people who are in bondage set free. And that happens by Christ in me, the hope of glory. If we'll all just get to this place where we say, it's no longer I who live. Like Paul, that's what Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ in me. We'll see a change, but it's difficult. See, it's easy to preach it. It's easy to listen to it. It's easy to say that's what I want. But living Christ in me is different because that takes some discipline. That takes some contemplation of reviewing all these things in your life and saying, is it Christ in me or is it Aram in me? Is it Christ in me or is it Keith in me? Is it Christ in me or is it my own emotions, feelings, and desires? Lisa, the choice really is ours. But one lifestyle carries no power and no victory. One lifestyle will only pull you deeper and deeper into despair, depression, darkness, worry, and anxiety. It is the other option that God has given us through Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit to live that life of more than a conqueror, victorious, where I say I actually am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am moving forward. I'm not going backwards. I am increasing and never decreasing. Things are getting better for me, and the glory of the Lord has shined upon my life. And I will reflect that glory back to the world because I want the world to see what He's done for me, because if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And hopefully somewhere within my life, I cause people to get thirsty for this God who has radically changed my life. I'm still a work in progress, but I do know that I love the Lord. I do know that He loves me. I do know that His love for me is not conditional. It's not based upon my performance. It's based upon the fact that He is my creator and maker, and He has loved me no matter what. Even before I was formed in my mother's womb, He knew me. He loved me, and He chose for me to be birthed into this earth. Think about that. God made a conscious decision for you to walk this planet, for better or for worse, knowing that you would either love Him or reject Him, knowing that you would either follow Him or run away from Him. He still gave you the opportunity to step onto this planet. What do we do with that life? What do we do with that life? Do we make a difference? Or do we just live life as normal? These are the things that I'm thinking about, that I want you to think about. Do we just settle for what we currently have as a church, or do we say we're going to shake the world? Do we settle for just Sunday service, or do we desire revival? And it's not just what we say. It's not just the fruit of our lips. That will be seen in our actions and our lifestyle. Are we praying for it? Are we believing for it? Are we determined that I'm going to be there even if no one else is there? I'm going to raise my hands and worship my God whether anybody else raises their hands and worships God. I'm going to be a willing vessel. I'm going to be open and ready for transformation. Because if He can just change one life, that one life can change many. Think about that. If one life can make such a great impact, what would happen if we all got on the same page? What would happen if we all started carrying the same vision of we are here so that people can activate their life in Christ? When I go to work, I'm there so that somebody can activate their life in Christ. when I come to church and serve, I'm doing it so that somebody can activate their life in Christ. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm on the host team. That's why I clean. That's why I straighten chairs. That's why I use a tape measure when I straighten chairs. Because this, what we do here at the church, is valuable. And we are the agent of change that the world needs. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you once again for the opportunity to stand and share your word with your people. And God, my desire is that today things would be transformed, things would be changed, that all things would be made brand new. If you have a specific need in your life, I just want you to take your hand, lay it over your heart right now. We're going to come into agreement together and believe that God is going to meet you at the point of your need. If you need healing, I'm going to believe with you that Jesus is still a healer. If you need him to touch you emotionally, I'm going to believe that he will touch you today emotionally. But again, hear what I'm saying. You have to do your part. So many times we want Jesus just to show up and do it all. We have to do our part. We have to respond. We have to worship. We have to get in the word. We have to seek him. We have to do our part. So Father, for every single person in this place, no matter what the need may be, I thank you for touching them. I thank you for helping them. I thank you for moving on their behalf. God, I'm asking that you would take them further than they've ever gone before. Lord, for every marriage that is in this room, we ask that you would strengthen it. Lord, let the husband's desire be for his wife. Let the wife's desire be for her husband. Father, for every child that belongs to this church, Lord, let them be a child that honors and respects their elders. Lord, let us be the people that live according to your word and not according to the world. I thank you for hearing us today. I thank you for transforming us today. It is in Jesus' name. And everyone would say, amen.